السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the question of questions, which is the questions that we will face when we die and thereafter. And I mentioned for you the ayat of Surah Al-Fussilat, and last Juma we discussed that in some detail, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily those who say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ, who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they are firm and steadfast on this statement. They have istiqamat on that statement. Last Jumu'ah I explained in detail what is the meaning of istiqamat on saying Rabbunallah. On such people when they are dying, and may Allah make us among them who are mentioned in this ayah inshallah. On such people the angels will descend at the time of their deaths, and they will say to them, Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu, do not fear and do not grieve. Have no huzn and have no khawf. Huzn is for the past, the life which has been spent. Khawf is for the future, the akhirah into which we are going, about which we know nothing. So they say, do not have any fear and do not have any khawf, and do not have any sadness and do not have any fear, but receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you have been promised. These glad tidings will be given at the time of death itself. There are many people who unnecessarily confuse themselves, and they have all kinds of false aqaid with regard to the conditions of the grave, with regard to the azab of the qabr, and with regard to the good conditions of the grave, and so on and so forth. There is no need to be in any confusion about that. The issue of judgment on the day of judgment is different from the bashara of that which is given at the time of death, and the fact that there is azabul qabr and there is sababul qabr. Both of them are haqq, and this has been established in the Quran and the hadith. So there is no need for any confusion whatsoever. Because if you take this ayah, what is the bashara that the malaika are giving? Are the malaika the ones who make the judgment? Allah makes the judgment. The malaika do nothing without the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the malaika are coming and giving the bashara of Jannah, they are not doing it on their own. They are not even saying you will get Jannah insha'Allah. They are not saying that. They are saying you will get Jannah. They don't decide. So who is saying that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them with that news for his slave, male or female, who lived their life as muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those insha'Allah. And they will then say, we have been your friends in the life of this world and are your friends also in the hereafter. Therein, in the hereafter, you shall have all that your inner selves desire. Tashtahi anfusakum. Whatever was in your heart, whatever you wanted, Allah will give you. And therein you shall have all for which you ask. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word nuzul. Now the way they translate it is to say entertainment. But nuzul is not entertainment. Nuzul is a welcome that is given before some great things which have been planned for the traveler who comes in, who is very tired. So if you are expecting a traveler who is coming from a long flight or something, and as soon as they come home and you've got all these plans for them, you're going to take them here and there, you're going to have this big party for them and all these nice things which they like to eat. You, as soon as they enter the house, you don't take them straight to the table which is spread with all sorts of stuff. No. You give them a cool drink, you give them some sharbat, you give them some juice, and you say, sit down, you know, relax, have a cool drink, wash your face. This is the precursor, this is the sign of what is to follow. So nuzul is the sign of what is to follow. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. This bashara of Jannah, which we have given you, is the nuzul. It is the welcome from al-ghafurir rahim, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a precursor, which is a news of all that He has planned for you in the Jannah, inshallah. And that is the ayat of Surah Al-Fussilat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentioned, I'm going to give you a lot of dalail today, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who deny all of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضُرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقُ ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve, they beat them on their faces and their backs. يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. They beat them on their faces and on their backs, saying, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. This is because of that which your hands have forwarded. And verily Allah is not unjust to His slaves. Now brothers and sisters, we make our own Jannah and we make our own Jahannam. You and I decide how many palaces you want in Jannah. You and I decide what we want in Jannah. You and I decide what kind of furnishings we want in our qabr. And may Allah protect us, you and I decide the depth of the pit in Jahannam that we want to be sitting in. We ask Allah to save us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not inflict the Jahannam or the Jannah on anybody against His will. We get what we have been buying throughout our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word ishtara. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'mineen. Allah has bought from the mu'mineen. The ayat of Surah Tawbah. In exchange for their lives and their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them Jannah, has bought the Jannah. As Allah has bought their lives and their wealth for the price of Jannah. So we are paying for it. And if we pay for it, we have to get it, because this is a deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not renege on His deals. So whichever way we buy, whether we buy the Jahannam or we buy the Jannah, we have been given free choice. Free choice. But all choices are free, but all choices have consequences. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in the surah which you would have recited today, and if you haven't recited, then do recite it before the Jummah finishes, which is Surah Al-Kahf. Allah said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants to have iman, let him have iman. And whoever wants to deny, let him deny. Makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to deny, deny. Reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. Reality exists. We have a choice of believing it or not believing it. It doesn't change the reality. What it does change is our own preparation to meet that reality. Because if something is real and we deny it, then we will not prepare for it. We say, there is no, it is not there, why should I prepare? But that hasn't changed. That is still there. If somebody jumps out of a plane at 20,000 feet and he says, I don't believe in gravity, so I don't need a parachute. What happens? Until he meets Mother Earth and he becomes a part of it, nothing happens. Please notice, don't expect instant results. If a person says, I believe in gravity and he has a parachute, and a person says, I do not believe in gravity and he does not have a parachute, both of them jump out of the plane, at that point in time, what happens? Nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. Not only does nothing happen, but when this guy pulls the parachute, pulls the ripcord and the parachute opens, his speed gets slowed down. His speed gets slowed down. The other guy is traveling at 32 feet per second acceleration. So he shows him his thumb. Angota dikhayega, naak pe yon karke batayega, tu to bewakoof hai, ruk gaya. Tarakki nahi ho rahi hai. You have slowed down. Look at my speed. I am zooming. Do you understand what I am saying? He said, you said there is gravity. What gravity? Forget gravity. I am zooming. Look at you. You are slowly floating. So he says, cut down your parachute. And some idiots will cut down their parachute. And then what happens? The result is always the same. This is the beauty of the laws of physics. The result is always the same. And what is the result? When you come from 20,000 feet, traveling at an acceleration of 32 feet per second, and you meet Mother Earth, you have a concrete experience. Yes, they are spared the trouble of digging a grave, because you will make a hole. It will be a holy ending for you. All they need to do then is to fill it up. You get the point I'm saying? This is the reality of the world. When you say, I will not do business in a way which Allah has made haram, you just pulled your ripcord, you just opened your parachute. The other guy who's doing business will make more money, he will buy things, he will do things because he's not using his own money, he's buying money from the bank, he's taking money from the bank on interest and so on, and he will tell you, he'll give you a long lecture on debt equity, he will give you a long lecture on the issues of commercialization of effort and so on and so on. What do you tell him? You tell him, bye bye. Because that's what you have to tell the guy who is zipping down through the atmosphere while you are floating on a parachute. And that is the whole issue of reality and accepting reality. Not accepting reality does only one thing. It takes away your safety net from preparing to meet that reality. It does not change that reality. It does not change the meeting with that reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who refuse to accept the warnings. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah said, and when they forgot the warning they had received, when they refuse to heed the warnings that were sent to them, what does Allah do? Does anything happen to the guy when he refuses to open his parachute? What happens to the person who refuses to open his parachute? He only travels faster. Yes? He only travels faster. And that's what Allah is saying. Allah says, when they refuse to heed the warnings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not pull the cord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the gates of all good things. When you want to seek and you want to progress through haram, what happens? The gates of haram are open for you. Nothing happens. You are not punished and nothing. Gates are open for you. And then, in the midst of the enjoyment, all of a sudden, we call them to account. And they were plunged into despair and they were broken in spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said about those who are in a state of purity, having taken care to preserve their purity internally in their hearts, tazkiyatu nafs wa tarbiyatu al-akhlaq, taking care of their purity inside their hearts as well as in their lives, in their actions, in their dealings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمُ دُخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those whose lives the angels take while they are in a pious state, They say to them, Salamun alaykum. They say, Salamu alaykum. Enter Jannah because of the good that you used to do. And those who insist on sinning and who die in that state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. What state were you in? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَدَعْفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will say, we were weak. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala big enough for you to move? فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. The asbab and nuzul of this ayah is when hijrat became fard from Makkah to Medina. And some people did not move. And people asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what if they die there? They said, what if there is a war and if we are fighting and we shoot an arrow and the arrow hits a Muslim who is in Makkah, who should have migrated, he didn't migrate, he was still in Makkah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he will die on kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَدَافِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا وَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَئِكَ مَوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Verily, as for those whom the angels take in death while they are wronging themselves, the angels will say to them, in what condition were you? They reply, we were weak and oppressed on the earth. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah big enough for you to emigrate therein? Such will find their reward in Jahannam. What an evil destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the inevitability of death. Many, many ayats. Allah said, Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Whoever lives will die. Every soul will taste death. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything will be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aynama takunu yudrikumul mautu walau kuntum fi burujim mushayyada. Wheresoever you may be, death will find you and overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. Walls do not keep out the angel of death. So what is the position of the Muslim? What is it that we must say and what is it that we must live by? Our position is, قُلْ إِنَّا صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily my salah, my prayer, nusuki, my sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, who is the Rabb of everything which exists. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said in his book Kitab al-Ruh about the time of death, taking this from the various ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the ayat of the Quran, he said, whenever someone dies, the angel of death comes to take his soul, no matter where he is. The dying person sees him, hears him and speaks to him, but not with his eyes or his ears or his tongue. He speaks to him in a way which we do not know about and which we do not understand while we are still alive. But it happens. After the soul is taken, if it's a pure soul and has relatives in the next world who are people of the Jannah, they come to meet the soul with yearning and great joy. They ask the soul about the conditions of those who are still alive in the world. This is one of the dalail to show that people who have died have no clue what is happening to you. They have to ask somebody else who dies and comes, no matter who they are. General rule. The angels then bear the soul from one heaven to the next. And he's talking about the good souls. The angels then bear the soul from one heaven to the next until it comes into the presence of Allah. Then it returns and sees the washing of the body, its shrouding and the funeral procession. Then it says, either take me forward. Or it says, where are you taking me? The people cannot hear this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you could hear what that soul says, if you could hear the voice of that person, you would not bury your dead. He said, if you could hear what happens in the qabr, you would not bury your dead. When the believer is about to depart from this world and go forward into the next, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya said, angels with faces as bright as the sun descend from the heavens and sit around him in throngs, stretching as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death comes and sits at his head and says, good soul, come out to forgiveness and the pleasure from Allah. Ya ayyatuhal nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Then the soul emerges like a drop of water flowing from a water skin, from a jug. And the angel takes hold of it, Malakul Maut takes hold of it. When he has grasped it, the other angels do not leave it in his hand even for the twinkling of an eye. It's like a newborn baby who's born, everyone wants to hold it. The angels take the soul and place it in a perfumed shroud. They will bring a kafan from Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this will be made of green silk. They will bring this kafan and they will place the soul in this and wrap it in this shroud, and fragrance issues from it like the sweetest scent of musk found on the face of the earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree this for all of us inshaAllah. Then they bear it upwards, and whenever they take it past a company of angels, they are asked, who is this good soul? And the angels with the soul reply, so and so, the son of so and so, using the best names by which people used to call him in this world. They bring him to the lowest heaven and ask for the gate to be opened for him. It is opened for him, and the angels who are near Allah from each of the heavens accompany the soul to the subsequent heaven until it reaches the presence of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, register the book of my slave in Illiyun and take him back to earth. I created them from it and returned them to it, and I will bring them forth from it again. The soul is then returned to the body, and two angels come to him. They make him sit up and say to him, who is your Rabb? He replies, my Rabb is Allah. They ask, what is your religion? He says, my religion is Islam. They ask him, who is this man who was sent among you? He says, he was the messenger of Allah and I used to follow him. They ask him, how do you know all these things? And he will say, I read the book of Allah, I believed it, and I declared it to be true. Then a voice from on high declares, my slave has spoken the truth. So spread out the carpets of Jannah for him and open the gate of the garden to him. And then some of the fragrance and perfume comes to him. His grave is expanded for him as far as the eye can see. And a man with beautiful garments and a fragrant scent comes to him and says, rejoice in what delights you, for this is the day which you were promised. The person who died then says, who are you? Your face is a face that presages, that predicts something which is good. He says, I am your good deeds. I am your good actions. And then he says, oh my Rabb, the person who died, he says, oh my Rabb, let the last hour come soon so that I may rejoin my family and my property. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree this for all of us. And the opposite is said about the one who dies without iman, and the one who dies on shirk and kufr, and one who dies disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaika come, and the malaika have faces which are so terrifying and horrible that Ibrahim alayhi salam is reported to have said, by looking at the face of Malakul Maut, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Malakul Maut came to him, and Ibrahim alayhi salam said, show me your face. What do you look like when you take the face of a when you take the soul of a believer? And Malakul Maut said, turn around. And if he turned around, he saw this face. He says, wallahi, nothing more is required. Just looking at this face is reward enough for all the life. He says, no other reward is necessary. And then he says, show me the face. How do you come when you come to take the soul of a disbeliever? And Malakul Maut says, don't ask me for that. You cannot bear that. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, no, show me. So Malakul Maut said, okay, turn around. And he turned around, and Ibrahim alayhi salam fell down in a faint. He lost consciousness. When he came to, he says, wallahi, no punishment is necessary after this. Just seeing this face is enough as a punishment for whatever the person did. He says, no punishment is required after this. And that is the faith, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this, inshallah. And the malaika will come, and the soul knows. Now the soul knows what is going to happen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the soul tries to hide from Malakul Maut and disperses in the body and hides in every cell of the body. But there is no escape. There is no hiding. All the wealth and power of this dunya is not going to be of any use at that point in time. There is no hiding place. So Malakul Maut then drags the soul out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that will be like a wet ball of wet wool. If you drag a branch of thorns through it, it separates every strand of that wool. It tears apart every strand of that wool. He said that is the level of pain the person will feel when his soul is extracted, because the soul is trying to hide and Malakul Maut will drag it out of the body from every cell that it is dispersed into. And then the malaika will wrap it in a garment which is thorny and which is horrible and very rough. And a horrible smell will emanate from it. And they will take it up to the first heaven. And it will not go past the first heaven, because the malaika will refuse to open the gate. And they will say, we don't open the gate for this person. Return him. And the person will be returned. And he will see his shrouding and he will see his janaza being prepared. And then when he is put into his grave, he will be asked this question, Man Rabbuk, Mama Deenuk? Who is your Rabb? What is your Deen? What do you say about this man who came amongst you? And believe me, my brothers and sisters, these are not answers which can be prepared and answered. Your body will answer, your actions will answer, your and my life will answer. The person who did not obey Allah will not be able to say Rabbi Allah. A person who did not follow Islam completely, who followed Islam selectively, who picked and chose what they wanted to follow, who did selective obedience, which is disobedience, will not be able to say Deeni Islam, my Deen is Islam. A person who did not follow the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be able to say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my Nabi, he is my Rasul, he and I followed him. Do not lie there in your grave in a situation where your face will give a lie to your tongue, where your face will bear witness that you did not follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you used to shave your beard every day and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not shave his beard. Please forgive me. I apologize to you sincerely from the bottom of my heart. If I did not love you, I would not bother to tell you. If I wanted to be popular amongst you, I would not bother to tell you. I have at least enough sense to understand this. What makes me popular and what makes me unpopular. I am also human. I also want to be popular. I don't seek to become the most hated person on the face of the earth. I am not an idiot. I am saying this to you because I love you. You can take it or you can reject it, but you cannot make me stop saying this. I will say this to you until one of two things happens. Until you grow a beard, or until I meet my Rabb. The day you hear that I have died, then you can relax and say Alhamdulillah, now he will not be there to warn us. About the life of the Qabr, Shaykh Muhammad Saleh Al-Munajjid Hafizahullah, in his writings, taking from various sources of the Quran and Sunnah, he says man's life is divided into three sections. The life of this world, which ends with death. The life of al-barzakh, which starts with death and ends when the hour begins, when Qiyamah is established. And the life of the hereafter, which begins after the people are raised from their graves and is spent either in Jannah or in Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Jannah And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the Jahannam. My brothers and sisters, death is not the cessation of life, but the transfer from one state of life to another. Maut zindagi ke khatam hone ka naam nahi hai, balki ikhtiyar ke khatam hone ka naam hai. Death is not the name for the end of life, but for the end of choice. We have until we face death to choose what we want to do and what we want to avoid. Once we face Malakul Maut, choice ends. After that, we will only see the returns of our choices. May Allah make them the best returns and enable us to make the best choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this time when the opportunity to choose has ended. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah said, and if you could only see when the mujrimun will hang their heads before their Rabb in shame, and they will say, oh, our Rabb, we have now seen and heard, so send us back, we will do righteous good deeds. Verily, we now believe with certainty. And he said, Jalla Jalalu, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. In Surah Naba, the last ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we have warned you of a near torment, the day when man will see that the deeds which his hands have sent forth, and the believer and the disbeliever will say, woe to me, I wish I were dust. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who have taqwa and who seek to please Him in all situations, irrespective of who else is pleased. They don't please the makhluk by displeasing Allah. They please Allah, and if the makhluk is pleased, alhamdulillah. If the makhluk is not pleased, they don't change their behavior because their focus is only to please Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this in Surah Az-Zumar, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعَدَهُ وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِّينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يصبحون بحمد ربهم وخضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين. This last one is one of those great and majestic ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, which describe the glory and magnificence of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who had taqwa of their Rabb will be led to Jannah in groups. We ask Allah to make us among them, inshallah. Till when they reach the Jannah, the gates will be opened in anticipation before their arrival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even make you wait at the gate of Jannah. The gate of the Jannah will be opened before you arrive. So you don't even have to stop for the gate to be opened. And the keepers will say, Salamu alaykum. You have done well, so enter here to stay here forever, to abide therein. And the people will say, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that we are those people. And they will say, all praise and thanks be to Allah, who has fulfilled His promise to us and made us inherit this land. We can dwell in paradise in Jannah where we will. Wherever we want, we can stay here. How excellent a reward for the pious good workers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and you will see the angels surrounding the throne of Allah from all around, glorifying the praises of their Rabb. And they, all the creatures, will be judged with truth. And it will be said, all praises and thanks be to Allah, the Rabbul Alameen. Now, brothers and sisters, so the life of the barzakh lasts from after a person dies until he is resurrected. whether he is buried in a grave or not, whether he is burned or not, whether he is atomized in an explosion, whether he is eaten by wild animals, he will be resurrected. He will go into the Alamul Barzakh. All of these ways of dying are simply different doorways through which he goes into the same world, the Alamul Barzakh. The evidence that points to this life of the grave is in the Quran in many places and also in many ahadith which are narrated by Rasulullah. One of which is that he said that after the deceased is placed in his grave, he can hear the footsteps of his family as they walk away from the grave. This life in Al-Barzakh will either be filled with delight or it will be hellish. And the grave will either be one of the gardens of Jannah or one of the pits of Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our qubur from among the gardens of Jannah, inshallah. What indicates that there will be either delight or torment in Al-Barzakh is the ayah of Surah Al-Ghafir, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the people of Fir'aun, "An-naru yuraduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya wa yawma taqumu as-sa'atu adkhilu 'ala fir'auna ashadd al-'adhab." The fire, they are exposed to it morning and afternoon. And on the day when the hour will be established, it will be said to the angels, cause the people of Fir'aun to enter the severest torment. Very clearly, the fire exposed to them before and after, and on the day of judgment something else will happen. What does it mean? This fire that they exposed to morning and afternoon is where? In the qabr. Because the day of judgment is specifically mentioned after that. And then on the day of judgment, this will happen. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma said, the souls of the people of Pharaoh and those of their ilk is not only the people of Fir'aun, it's all the people who do Fir'auniyat on the earth. People who behave like the Fir'aun. In every way, whatever those ways are. They are shown the fire morning and evening and they are told, this is your abode. Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he said, this ayah is the main belief of our Ahlul Sunnah, belief in the torment of Al-Barzakh in the grave. Al-Qurtubi said, some of the scholars quoted as evidence to prove the torment of the grave, this phrase, the fire they exposed to it morning and afternoon. And a similar view is expressed by Mujahid, Ikrimah, Muqatil and Muhammad ibn Ka'b. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And they said that this is the torment of the grave. And as I've mentioned, there are many other ayat of the Quran which point towards this, and also many ahadith. For example, two of them. One, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the grave is the first stage of akhirah. For whosoever that grave is easy, for him the akhirah will be easy. And for whosoever that grave is difficult, for him the akhirah will be difficult. Based on this hadith, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, whenever he went by a graveyard, he used to weep profusely. And somebody asked him, he said, why do you cry so much? You don't cry when other things are mentioned about the akhirah with regard to the torment of the Jahannam and so on. But why do you cry so much when you come to the grave? He said, did you not hear what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, this is the first stage. The other hadith with regard to Azabul Qabr is where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came upon two graves. And he asked the people, he said, do you know what is happening in this Qubur? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah and His Nabi know best. He said, there are two people here who are being punished for something which is apparently small. He said, one is being punished for not preserving his tahara, for allowing urine to spill and splash on his feet and his clothes. And he said, the other one is being punished for namima, for carrying tales from place to place. And then Rasulullah, and this is one of the mu'jizat of Rasulullah, and then he asked for a green branch, he cut it into two and he placed it on one piece on each grave. And he said that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decrease their azab because of this green branch as long as it remains green. He did not say azab will finish. He said perhaps Allah will decrease it because of the barakah of the touch of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not proof that you go around laying green branches. This is one of the mu'jizat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Doesn't apply to us. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said and quoted from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith in Bukhari, he said, when any one of you dies, he is shown his place morning and evening. And if he is one of the people of Jannah, then he is one of the people of Jannah. And if he is one of the people of Jahannam, then he is one of the people of Jahannam. A window will be opened and we will be shown, and may Allah make that view a view of Jannah for us, inshallah. And they will be told that this is your abode. And another window will be opened and they will be shown the Jahannam without the conditions of Jahannam. And they will be told that this is what you could have gone into, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from it. It was narrated from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that a Jewish woman entered upon her and came to her and mentioned the torment of the grave and said to her, may Allah protect you from the torment of the grave. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the torment of the grave, and he said, yes, the torment of the grave. Yes, the torment of the grave. And Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that I never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray any prayer without asking and seeking the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Azabul Qabr. And this is incidentally the last dua that we make in Tashahud just before we do Salam. Today it suffices to say that death is inevitable. The Azab of the Qabr is inevitable. The conditions of the Qabr are not, the Azab is not inevitable. Inshallah we ask Allah to protect us from that. The conditions of the Barzakh is inevitable. The Day of Judgment is inevitable. How we want this to be is in our hands. If we want a good ending, then we have to work for it. If we want a good situation in the Qabr, then we have to work for it. If we want an ease on the Day of Judgment with regard to our accounting, then we have to work for it. And inshallah, in the coming Jumaat, we'll take each of these questions. The three questions in the Qabr and the four questions, the five questions on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. And we'll talk about those and what those questions are and what we need to do to give the right answers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to answer these questions correctly in a way which will help us on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy to obey Him and to keep us away from all forms of disobedience and shirk with khair, inshaAllah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.